This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on Camo X. Happy Monday to you. You know what's crazy about that? Can you just sneeze like that? The way your elbow was perfectly aligned with your nose. That's crazy that you can do that.
Really?
Can anyone else come close? Oh, look, right. Well, maybe I'm the only one that can't.
Well, Kevin can't anymore because he's...
Wait,
Kevin.
Try it again, Dave.
He's yoked.
Are your shoulders...
Giant, yeah.
Yeah.
Giant?
Yeah.
Are you so jacked?
They're like bowling balls.
Yeah, I gotta
push. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm like Ron. I can push.
I can go past the nose degree.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't want to flex, but...
Rachel, can you do that? Oh, yeah, she does the same thing Amy does.
Don't ever... So the bottom line here is don't ever touch anybody's elbow.
Yeah.
Because they've sneezed into it for sure.
At least the inside of the elbow.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, sneezing on the outside probably doesn't do the same
That'd
thing.
That'd be pretty funny, though, wouldn't it?
Andrew, can you do that? You jointed? Yeah.
He does it easily.
Is it? Yeah, easily.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I just have trouble doing that.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have a vest on, too, which should give you more mobility.
You think so?
Yeah. Sleeves.
More range of motion from your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A vest is made for shoulder mobility.
I have no excuse. I've always been, like when I was running track in college, they would put like Icy Hot on my legs and then wrap them. Then I would race and I would fall down and they'd take them off and wash it off. Otherwise my legs would blow up or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that painful?
Yes. Kinda.
Why would they do that?
I had a weird coach. He had lots of weird stratagems. And so I was really unflexible. I just always have been. Didn't work at it enough to become more flexible. And so their answer was to just put Icy Hot on me.
Because that really, you know.
It affects your inner twitch muscles.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Times was just different back then.
amen, brother.
Yeah, you're not right. You're not kidding,
you
man.
You just said a mouthful. Yeah. That kind of sums everything up. Like, why did they do that?
Yeah, they just were guessing. So why did they do it where athletes weren't allowed to have water when they were exercising in the heat?
Yeah.
Because somebody just decided it would make you tougher, which obviously it doesn't.
They would literally set up, you know, like a jungle gym. If you picture a small jungle gym, but with every corner, there's a fountain. They would set that up in the middle of the practice field on doubles. But you couldn't get a drink. You could only get a drink after the practice was over.
Yeah.
And that's why I did one of my meanest things of all time. I'm going to tell it again, Rach. I'm just purging my soul. I had brought Weiler's lemonade in like a, you know, like a Yeti kind of thing for that day. And you couldn't drink for the whole 2.5 hour practice. And I've never been that thirsty. And they finally got to go. And I went over there and I'm guzzling it. And poor Mickey Cibolo, one of my good friends, came up and he's like, "Man, I forgot my drink. Could I have some of yours?" And I just like,
Oh, you gave him the Three Amigos right in front of him, huh?
I know.
Yeah, wow.
To this day, I ran into him. He was a police officer in my old hometown. I ran into him back in like the early 2000s and I apologized. I'm like, I feel terrible about that. I was 13, 14 years old, but I still feel bad.
What if his response was, "Oh, I feel really bad about putting these cuffs on you, too"?
I'm like, you probably don't even remember this. He's like, "I remember."
Oh, he does. That was going to be my question. Did he remember?
Yeah.
That's.
They always do.
Yeah.
They always do.
But what a wild thing that used to be, just to develop toughness.
Yeah.
No water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No
water.
Hey, let's push you closer to dying.
It's
well, there's a famous Boston Marathon. I think it was in the 80s, but it was like Alberto Salazar.
Yeah, I remember
and,
him.
Yeah, and they did. It was called Duel in the Sun. It was like the super hot Boston Marathon. And Salazar like did not believe in drinking water. Like it was nothing. You just ran. And I'm pretty sure he did permanent damage, like not only to his organs, but to his brain or something. Like, I mean, it was really bad, but that was just what they thought it made you tougher. Mm. Like you're supposed to just go for it.
Yeah. Mm. They also gave us, they had a big, like a, you know, the big tall milk jugs, the metal ones. They had one of those painted yellow. I don't know why. I remember it so distinctly, full of salt tablets. And we would take salt tablets, which would make you so much thirstier.
Yeah.
I always thought it was torture. I guess maybe they're just trying to replace your salt. But it just, like, when you're already parched and you suck on a big Mentos-sized salt tab. It was tough. I'm telling you, going through college athletics and everything I've ever done, high school football doubles practices.
Oh, the two-a-days.
Like 1980 through 82 were the hardest thing I've ever done. Now, I've never done like, what do they call those? The Tough Mudders or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did one of those.
I've never been in the military or law enforcement. So I'm sure there are harder things, but man, that pushed me to my limit.
Yep. Thank God I didn't play football.
Yeah. You never played football?
Nah.
Oh. I thought you would have.
Nope. I was too dedicated to baseball.
Low center of gravity.
I do.
Yeah, you're hard to knock
back,
over.
But see, keep in mind, like back in the day when I would have, I was, you know, eighth, ninth grade, I was probably 140 pounds. So kind of easy to knock over.
And he was pegging his jeans and he had long hair.
Yeah. I was fast, though. Oh, boy.
Could have been a great running
back. Like a little water bug. Actually, the coach did ask me if I would come out because he wanted me to return kicks. And I'm like, nope, I don't want to get killed. No, actually, honest to God, I would have done it. My dad told me he wouldn't let me play football.
Back then,
Well, but it was for a different reason. He's like, you don't need to get your knees blown out for baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he knew then, and I knew then, like baseball was always my favorite. It was always my number one and what I was best at. So he's like, yep, don't need to ruin your knees for baseball.
How far into college did you still have hopes you could make it in baseball?
Like legitimate ones or the weird dreams of an idiot college kid?
Either one.
Because, I mean, like up until the day that I stopped playing, I would have thought that I could do it. I mean, after college, I went to workouts for teams at their facilities in Florida. Like, I went down to Florida for, like, a month, and I went, like, to the Pirates, to the Mets, to the Reds,
and
to the Tigers.
How did you think you compared?
To the people there pretty well. But, like, you know, at the time, you always think that if you just get the opportunity, you're going to be good enough, right? Because most of your life you were. But then when you really think about it, like, all right, I was at a college where there were a lot of guys that were elite players, right? I mean, this was a top 4 or 5 program every year, and I didn't play over those guys, and most of those guys didn't go pro.
Gotcha.
And that didn't really sink in until I was probably about 22.
I've definitely had things like that. Not so much with athletics, but with other things where you look back, the whole if I'd have known then what I know now.
Yeah, yeah.
That truly, you I don't think delusional is too strong a word. There are different kinds of delusion in life.
Yeah.
But I look back to some of the things I've done and decisions I've made, and I'm like, well, that was crazy.
At the time, I can say now clearly I was delusional. Like, there was no way I was going to play pro baseball. None. And unless something, like, we didn't have a lot of the training techniques then that you do now, where you can train specifically for bat speed or all of the things we know now about how to build up arm strength better than we knew then. Because what I would have needed to play pro ball is probably another 8-9 miles an hour velocity.
It's kind of a lot.
It's a lot.
kind of a lot. Yeah.
But I mean, I can see people do that now, though. I mean, I train people on. We can't. You know, 8 to 9 in a year is impossible. But 4 in a year is not impossible. And then another 2 or 3. But you will eventually reach a limit. Every human body has a limit. Is not if every guy could throw 100, they would. You know, there's a reason there. And I don't know what my limit would have been, but I bet it's higher than what I found out. Because at the time, we just like, oh, the only way to build arm strength is throw long toss. Just throw a long toss, and it works, but it doesn't work like the stuff, like, you know, the techniques now.
It really is a fascinating exercise to think about the guys who do make it to professional baseball or football or whatever, and just how much, even the worst player at the major league level is so much better than everybody they've ever played against before.
Yeah.
And going back to high school.
They were the best of the best.
Just and thinking about how their peers and their opponents probably talked about them during high school, like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. And now he's the worst player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Just how good they are. Where you'll have cases like, was it Joe Mauer that struck out once?
In high school, yeah.
In high school, one time in high school he struck out. And I think that person came and threw the first pitch to him for his Hall of Fame ceremony, his Twins Hall of Fame ceremony, which is, I mean, just think about that. Think about playing against somebody who never struck out in 4 years of high school.
I had that. I didn't have the sports delusion so much like Wheels did. I was a good athlete in high school, especially in soccer. But again, we didn't have a soccer program. So I was playing the guys who showed up at the OTAs or whatever. So I was Pele. And then when I got to SIU, which was a juggernaut, I would practice with the soccer team. And it was like I was a third grader. I mean, it was that stark.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of those guys who were literally running circles around me would have been the third graders once they got to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look at the European leagues and just crazy how that is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've told the story a bunch of times, but it was a stark thing when, you know, I went from high school. Like, I grew up in a big metropolitan area, right? I grew up in metropolitan Detroit. This is at the time, the 10th or 11th or 12th biggest city in the country. And it's still not far off of that when you're counting the suburban area, right? And our high school always finished in the top 10 in the state. We finished in the state semifinals 2 out of 3 years. And we were always good. And I was hitting second and third, team captain, all that stuff, on a really good team. I thought I was really good. And I got to college at Miami, and I'm like, damn it, they're all better than me. Every one of them's better than
me. You know, there's as good as Jimmy Griffin is, you know, he's like St. Louis's rock star. I'm sure Jimmy would say that there are people who he's just like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that they're just so next level musicians. Just the way it is. I guess we should, most of us normies, should just be happy to have played in bands or on sports teams, like, just to get the enjoyment out of it.
That's where I am now. Like, I'm happy that I was delusional when I was young. Because if I wasn't, I might not have pursued it as much as I did and learned the things that I learned. You know, I mean, like being down there at Miami, I learned a lot, and I learned things that I might not have picked up on going to a place where I would have played more, where it would have been more realistic for me. Because I had people telling me that, oh, you know, you should go to Division II schools here. And they were the ones that were like calling me and like, hey, you should come out. We could put you to use, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't want that. I thought I was better than that, and because I was an idiot. But I think that ended up being better in the long term.
Yeah, but you got to be a catcher on the Miami Hurricanes.
Well, this is my point. Like, you got the experience, but also got to be around one of the greatest college baseball coaches in history. I mean, Ron Frazier was our coach. He is Mount Rushmore of college baseball coaches in history. You know, one of the top four. And it'll change into the future, but I mean, at this point, he's one of the greats. So, I mean, just getting that experience.
Anything you feel like you're delusional about now?
Everything. Probably the same things.
I mean, look at them.
I mean, yeah.
Come on.
I can't see them yet, but I'm sure in 10 years I'll know that I was delusional about it.
Interesting. Anything pop to mind?
I don't know. No, I mean, you guys tell me.
Well, the whole I'm perfect
we
got thing.
Yeah, we haven't dated.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You may be right.
You aren't delusional about those biceps, tell you that.
No, those are real.
They are.
Yoked. They're real. He's been obsessed with this lately.
I know. I can't get over it.
You're kind of teasing him. It's always nice jamming to one of your favorite songs. You look around at your best friends and are all just blank faces. They got nothing.
I'm head bobbing.
Sort of like I was watching a TikTok this weekend. It was really interesting. It's a Gen Z producer who I don't know, but he evidently knows what he's talking about with music. And he was listening to Dark Side of the Moon for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I mean, I know there are lots of those out there, but it was just seeing someone who's into music, but had never listened to Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, the vocals, that's good. And I'm like, idiot.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd.
I love the music reaction videos.
I want to see one where they're like, this sucks.
Yeah, because they're always impressed by it.
I think they only post the ones they like. I don't think they want to go out there and trash people.
That could be.
I like them, but there are too many of them now.
Yeah, I would agree.
There are too many different people that are doing it and acting like they are just now for the first time. When you know they've listened 5 or 6 times and then they're going back.
That's one thing you can really see. There's this one girl on TikTok. I have no idea who she is. But she's this girl, she's very frenetic, but she's very funny, and she's like, I'm mentally ill, okay, I'm mentally ill, blah, 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 blah. But it's entertaining. She's very funny, they're very quick, and I've noticed now a bunch of other girls are doing that character. Mm. And that just always disappoints me. I don't know, it's like imitation always disappoints me.
Yeah.
I have a good 4-minute segment for this, for this little segment here. I know you, Wheels, when people run out on the field, you want to see them get their ass busted,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So over the weekend, there was this female named Claudia Rose who Rach looked up, and she's an Instagram model, and she's beautiful, and just, you know, she stands out, put it that way. And she was running out on the field, and they couldn't have treated her with more kid gloves. Is that just classic?
What field?
Steelers.
Oh.
She's out on the Steelers.
Yeah.
And she goes running out there with a sign, probably said, follow me on Instagram. And it was is that just chivalry? Like, we're not going to tackle a woman.
Ew.
Or should they just tackle her ass?
Now, if it was a dude that just ran out there, and then as soon as people were coming after him, he just stopped, well, then no, you don't have to beat the crap out of him. I only want to beat the crap out of the people that try to evade security and run around for as long as they can. I hate those guys.
What if she was running around for as long as she could?
Then she gets tackled.
If she get, you get dropped, you get
what,
dropped.
What happens when you do that to a police officer in a normal police situation? Are they going to hold back? I wouldn't think so. I think they're going to tackle you.
And she wasn't protesting. She was promoting herself?
I'm guessing.
So she was holding a sign that read, Trump, secure border, Kamala, open border. So yeah. She's like a MAGA. Oh.
Political.
Influencer.
Okay, so it's a political
naked?
Speech thing.
No.
Was she naked?
She was scantily clad.
Okay. Well, that probably plays into the fact that they're reluctant to tackle her.
Because
you don't want to grab something accidentally. You don't want to, like, that would be awful. If I were a security officer and a naked guy ran out on the field, I'd be like, ugh.
Let him go.
This is his field now.
Yeah. I'm not tackling
Let's
that.
Let's just all go home.
Gross, he's naked.
That used to happen all the time. Ew. Streaks.
Yeah.
Streakers, that was a big deal. God, no. my dad loved that.
Streakers?
Nothing made him as happy as a streaker. Yeah.
Who was the oh, gosh, what was her name?
Morgana?
Yeah.
The kissing bandit?
Yeah, the kissing bandit. Oh, yeah.
George Brett loved her, too.
Morgana?
She was.
Here, I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. She was
super
cartoonishly.
Big boobs, yes.
Basically, like, looked a lot like what 80s Dolly Parton looked like.
Yeah.
The hair and everything, but she would run on to sporting events and kiss people.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know Dolly Parton has frozen macaroni available in the food section? She's got a whole line of frozen foods. Sorry, I just remembered that.
This is what she does all day?
All day.
Every day?
So she would
all
kiss
day.
People in the stands or on the
field? No, she would run out and kiss players like this.
Yeah.
Did people?
In the 80s, she was very well known.
Them? Her?
It was kind of a thing. Famous. They knew who she was, and she would do this. Like she would run out there. I get a better picture
for
Amy.
Those little shorts she's got on.
Now you get tackled. What was this lady's name? Claudia what?
Rose.
Oh.
She's
Claudia
not like
Rose.
Super duper famous.
I didn't ask Rachel who she was.
No, I had to look her up on Instagram.
It's not the Claudia Rose STL one, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Because that'd
be awesome.
There's a local Claudia Rose who is a musician.
No, this is a MAGA influencer.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like if you run onto a field at a sporting event, whatever happens to you is what happens to you because you're putting everybody at risk. If players don't know what your intentions are. You know, you could be out there just goofing around or you could be running out there to hurt somebody.
Well,
they don't know.
Cubs game, right?
Yeah, that's true. She could have a knife on her.
Yeah, this happened in a Cubs game. Their reliever named Randy Myers. A guy charged him and tried to fight him. Threw a punch at him. And Myers, I think, was a black belt in something. And he took him down. But
What about Sox Stadium? The first base coach
first
got
base
attacked.
Coach got attacked. An umpire
by a father
got attacked
and son.
There. Monica Seles got stabbed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just, how do you just stay away? Like, if you go into somebody else's workplace and start running around and just evading security, what do you think is going to happen to you?
Maybe Claudia Rose STL will come and run around our studio.
I'd love it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I love that seems strong. 134 DGS. I just told Amy that I was at my own Halloween party when I saw the Don Dekinger call, and she was like, "You mean like no one else was there?" I'm like, "Shut up! That may be this year."
It sounded like you were. I was at my own Halloween party. I did my own thing. Okay, it's okay. I don't need you guys.
Hey, Dave, can I have another Snickers? Sure, hand.
No, you've had too many. You'll never sleep now.
I realize what my road rage is, and it's so vanilla. I'm so just pablum puking vanilla when it comes to road rage. But here's, like, if Amy were to pull in front of me, here's what I do in my Jeep. I just shake my head no, like I'm so disappointed in you. No. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? That's what I do. That's
lips,
what I do.
Lips pressed together like
yeah,
that.
I don't yell even to myself. Yeah. I just.
Wow.
Boy. Yeah. How lame, right? Although I'm doing it because if I cut someone off and I look back and they were doing that, I would be crestfallen.
I mean, technically, it's probably the cruelest response.
Could be. Or the thumbs up, Rach, right?
Sometimes I give the thumbs up.
You're ballsy. Man, that's gutsy.
Well, if someone's flipping me off, then I give them the thumbs up back. Because it's just like, I'm not going to.
Yeah. That's only happened to me a couple of times in life.
I did it to you.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did. Boy, I gave you the head shaking of my life.
First, he's like, who the hell is this jerk?
You flipped Dave off?
Yeah. I pulled up next to him right at the exit of 40 at 14th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in there are two lanes that can turn left. He was in the first one, and I pulled next to him, and I went, hey, buddy!
Here comes a sweet-ass Camaro and this guy with a bully haircut. I'm like, oh, it's going down.
You guys could have put on, like, such a show for the people behind you.
That's
you both got out of the car.
That's true.
Like, oh, my gosh, they're it's fighting. Going down.
You know, now that I think about it, there were probably people going, oh, my God, did these have beef?
When I was doing the Exorcist television show, like 3 days in a row, I would get off on, I forget, Natural Bridge maybe, to go over there by Umzel, and I pulled off 70 and I went 100 yards and stopped at a stoplight between these two cars left and right, and they started shooting at each other.
Oh!
For real, shooting guns at each other. And then one went left, one went right, and I went to the Exorcist house.
Well?
Crazy.
Who would have thought that the Exorcist house was safer than that intersection?
Right? I can't wait to get to the Exorcist house.
I'm safe now.
Where I feel safe. Hi, devil.
Ooh, am I glad to see you.
And the devil's like, man, those guys, that was crazy.
The guy shooting?
I made him do that.
That was for you, Dave.
It's a lot safer in
that's
here.
That's just your warm-up for coming here.
You know it's bad when Satan thinks it's dangerous downtown.
Yeah, no kidding. Hurry, just get in here.
I think the only time I've been around anything like that was right around, it was 2019, because I think the Blues were, it was around the time they were winning. And we had this event at 360, and I'm coming back up, oh gosh, whatever street this is over here, wherever the pizza place that used to be on the corner, Mauricio's.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So I'm there at the light, and then, so it's probably about midnight, and everybody, I see a bunch of people just start scattering. And I just went, well, that can't be good.
No. No.
And that was the most I had for it was, that can't be good. And apparently there was a shooting that happened. I don't know if anybody got hurt, but it's weird to see that because you know it's panic. You know somebody had pulled out a gun somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know that you're kind of a little bit in danger in the moment.
I was going 10 years ago, going to see the Hoffman Brothers. And they used to be in kind of a bad part of town. Now they're out in Clayton. And I was at a stop sign, four-way, and there was a guy right in the middle of the four-way with almost like a granny XXX jug of hooch or something. He's drinking and he's dancing and he's screaming and he's pointing at all the cars. And then a cop car pulls up. And I look at the cop and I do one of these. And he looked at me and he's like, boo. Like, what do you want me to do about it? So we both just kind of sheepishly pulled around him. Like, okay.
Oh, just let him stay there.
Just let him stay there.
All right.
Right on.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm not a road rager. I'm not a fighter. But I do get annoyed and resentful. I have to start a biker gang that just gets annoyed and resentful.
Turn it all inside.
Like, your biker. You're just... You just make that sound.
Tisk, tisk. So anyway, where the two places I get the most annoyed, the road and the grocery store.
Oh. Mm.
Which to you is the more annoying? Because people in the grocery stores, it seems like it's getting worse. Maybe it was COVID knocked all our sins out of our butts or something. But people in grocery stores, I am 10-2 on the wheel. I am minding my P's and Q's. If it's too many carts in that aisle, I'm not going down it. People just go down the aisle, leave their cart in the middle, and walk off. It just makes me nuts.
The road, because you can dehumanize them, right? Because of a car. Like, if it's a car and you feel like everyone's driving like they're the most important person, everything feels very intentional, where occasionally the grocery store can feel more absent-minded. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you get that. The road always escalates. I feel like the grocery store naturally de-escalates.
I was behind this old white couple. God, I hated them. They were both, they got out of like a friggin', I don't know, Jaguar SUV bus. And then I was behind them the whole, I just kept running into them, and they're both drinking fruity coffee drinks. And it was just all about them. It was, they were just having the time of their life. Aww. And I wished them dead.
Yeah. I hate the road more because the road, the things that people do on the road are actually unsafe.
Yeah.
Like they can hurt people. They can hurt people, but.
Mm-hmm. Right, you get the grocery store thing, right?
Oh, I hate them so much.
Yeah, that's why I go to the grocery store at like 6 a.m. now.
Yeah. Try Costco, by the way.
You go early and no one else is there and you don't have to deal with it.
So people are nice.
That's a good idea. How was Costco on your Friday night?
Oh, it was great on a Friday evening. It was one of the best times to go. I would highly recommend.
There you go.
Got there at like 5:30 on a Friday. So it was in, out, boom, nice and easy. But if you go there at the wrong time, like in the morning, it's pretty crowded.
Yeah, all the Costco crowds at the Cracker Barrel on a Friday night.
Yeah, that's a good point. Early dinner. You get to there. If you go there on Saturdays and Sundays, it's brutal because it's everything you're describing in the grocery store, because it's a giant grocery store.
But more aggressive.
But there's more of it. But there's also, at the end of every aisle, there are samples and there are like carnival barkers trying to sell you
and
the
lines.
Samples. And everybody stops and you're just like, How is everybody just stopped in the aisle? Can you not move out
I
of the
love
way?
It. Feels like chaos.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Yeah, only like at regular grocery stores, you're like in and out. But at Costco is kind of like an adventure. It's like, here we go.
Oof.
Into the melee.
I kind of get that.
Yeah.
It's like expectations.
No, yeah. That's true. I mean, it is an understandable. I do expect when I go there, like, well, this is going to be a pain.
I want sweatpants and cheese balls.
But it's worth it
because they're both
you get
in this aisle.
Cool stuff.
Rach, when you're with your 6 a.m. peeps, do they seem to get it? Like you meet eye contact and you're like, that's right.
Yeah, everyone's there for the same reason, to avoid others.
To avoid
others.
Yeah.
So you don't even make the eye contact.
To get groceries.
Just get your groceries. Yeah, and you have
that
yourself
time
a nice
of day,
morning.
Rach, you couldn't be more right. When I worked overnights, I would always do grocery stops on the way home.
Because
there's nobody. Get done at 5 a.m., you're at the store at 5:30, there's nobody there.
I like going at 8 o'clock.
P.M.
No one's ever there.
No, that's a good point.
My local grocery store, you can go at 10 p.m. and there's still a line. It's crazy.
Well,
I think there's a lot of college
you
students.
Don't
I
say.
Think that's what it is.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't go to that one.
I know I don't. I go to the other one now.
Good for you.
I'm going to get all this poise now during this segment.
Do it.
I've also realized one thing I really can't stand is anything over the top. And I say that watching the Drew Barrymore show right now. And it's everything about that. And the one behind me, probably the talk is on behind me. The one with the kid from Stand By
Jerry
Me.
Jerry O'Connell.
Who wears pink and dances every day.
Yeah.
And it just
takes off his shirt too, like
every
day.
Thing like that, or the Masked Singer, anything, and people like the people who are on the Masked Singer, like the guy that was in the one who's a doctor, who
Ken Jeong.
Yes,
yeah. He's great.
He's so much better than that show.
Yes, yeah.
But they're getting paid, so they're doing it, and he's acting like a damn fool. I just don't think I could do it.
I could do the Jerry O'Connell role for what he's getting paid.
Could you?
I could too.
Oh you looked it up,
like,
right?
They're getting paid like $1 million an episode or something.
Yeah. No, I think it's more like $1 million a year.
Oh, is it?
I thought it was $1 million an episode.
That's like Seinfeld money.
I think
money.
They're making like $200 million a year.
Yeah.
They have a new episode every day.
No, I
don't think they're making
it.
They're not making Jerry O'Connell a week. They're not making a quarter bill.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's got Ohtani's contract.
All right, so he makes $2 million a year.
Oh.
I think I could act like a fool for $2 million a year. I think I'd be okay with that.
It's only $1 million more than you get now.
I would say, well, you know, that extra mil goes a long way.
I don't know if you could.
Yeah, I would.
You seem like the least likely person.
I know, but for $2 million bucks a year.
Everyone's got a price. I learned that in the Hallmark
You could do
channel.
Your version of over the top.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Jerry's version.
Be you wouldn't some take other off weird your shirt, version. Even though you're all jacked
sure
and everything?
I would. On a dare?
Do you dance?
Do I dance?
Yeah.
Nah, not
Have
so
you
much.
Ever?
Back in the day, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
how?
In college, big time.
What was your move?
I don't know. Probably the Running Man.
For real?
You had that answer
probably.
Pretty
quick. It's the only one I could do.
The Running Man. Oh, you
can,
see
the only thing I could do.
Well, you have to do
is that
it now.
This one?
No, I you just pretend like you're running and you like pump your arms. It's kind of like an MC.
Well, you
like
have to show us because we don't know.
It's kind of like I can't
like.
Do it now.
Oh,
it would
try
hurt.
It.
It would hurt. Now, we used to go to the clubs on South Beach, and I don't know. I didn't have any moves. I just did it.
So. You just ran the whole time?
Well, no. You try to pretend that you can do other things, and you can't.
Yeah, I relate. I can't dance at all.
No, it's all right.
I can dance too much.
Yeah, could you?
Yeah.
Were you really good?
I mean, I gave lessons.
So. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
What was your move?
Yep.
Heel toe.
Good.
Big finish.
I thought you were more of a
move. Never goes
I thought
out
you
of
were
style.
More of the booty drop.
Now, if I drop my booty, it's not coming back. It's going to drop on something or someone, and it's not going to go well. I got a dense booty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My booty weighs like 47 pounds.
I hurt my knee when Shorty got low on one song.
Don't do that.
That with the apple bottom jeans.
Yes.
Boots with the fur.
She hit the floor or whatever, and I was like, oh, buddy. And then my
the
knee
only
hurt.
True dancer we got here is Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew loves to dance.
Really? Ron, do you dance?
Well, I almost said a bad word, but no, I don't. No, man, come on.
He stands.
I'm too
up
tall.
Like,
I feel like anybody over 6 foot shouldn't be dancing on them. They just look weird and gangly.
That's not why you don't. You dance.
That's
you don't
exactly
stand
why
there
it
like
is.
You're too tall. You stand there like you're too cool. You're too cool to dance.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
That's what he's.
That's
big,
my
tall
that's,
and cool.
Now I just have the excuses. Like,
meanwhile, I'm going my knee's to toe, hurt. Yeah. And he's doing the Running Man for 6 hours.
That was like 19-year-old me. 19-year-old me was just doing anything.
Just got a text from my good friend Ben Boyd, the head of the Cardinals Nation, and he said you should see Wheeler do the Running Man at Slipknot.
It's great in the pit.
I bet.
People definitely give you room.
Yes. No one. You drop it low a couple times. And,
oh, they're like not messing with that guy.
You know how things come in and out of your life? Mm-hmm. Something has gone out of my life, which I miss, which is Sunday shows. I used to love Meet the Press into Fox News when it was Chris Wallace. And I'd maybe watch a little Face the Nation and Chris Steigerwalt. And I have stopped watching any of them, not as a boycott, just naturally I've stopped. Mm-hmm. Like, Rach, you always talk about people don't really get canceled. Their stock just goes down so low you don't buy it. That, first of all, they ask terrible questions. When you're dealing with someone like Trump who's dancing for 39 minutes, walking aimlessly for 17, and then talking about Arnold Palmer's junk, and Kristen Welker's like is asking what's-his-face from South Carolina.
Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
Asking him, is this the best way to close a deal? Is this the best way to finish? To go to the finish line? No, he asked, is your guy bat crap crazy? Like, is he in need of Thorazine? Like, that's what you ask. And then it doesn't matter what you ask, how you ask it. And you all know this. How does this playbook continue to work? Well, let me ask you this. Does Kamala Harris need to blah, blah, blah? No, that's not what I... And they'll ask three times, then they move on. If you can survive avoiding a question three times, you can do a Sunday show. Just drives me crazy.
It's all about the access. They're afraid that people will stop coming on with them, so they don't play hardball.
But how can any of that be doing any good to anyone other than partisans?
I think it's less about access, because there's always going to be somebody you can have access to. You're always going to get the interview. With somebody, may not be the precise person you want, but it'll be somebody. I think it is about this. There's this real deep desire, whether it's the higher ups or the people actually doing the job on TV, to come across as completely objective, where I think they will try to make it seem like, well, both sides are equal here, and I'm not going to even give the appearance that I think one side is crazier than the other. I'm going to appear as in the middle as possible here. That's kind of what I think is going on.
I do also think that there are some people, even at that level, that just don't like confrontation. Like it's not fun. I mean, how many people like confrontation?
It could be.
I mean, like
just
I don't know
you.
What you. Yeah,
you,
right, exactly.
You love
this is my point. I don't think I'm in the majority.
Back when you said I would love to debate Donald Trump,
I would,
and I laughed at you.
Yeah,
I no longer laugh.
No, I would totally do it.
Yeah, I know you would.
I'm not saying I would win or anything, but I would definitely not sit there like a stump on a log and let him BS me.
You could dig up my grandmother and put her in a chair, and you would berate her like crazy.
I would put it this way: before I would do it the way that it gets done, I would make that person get up and leave with my tactics. Because I'm such a jerk.
And then you do the running man.
And then I would do the running man.
I'm going to get up and leave now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.